Welcome back to another episode of the Brewdeck Podcast. My name is Heather and I am joined by Cheyenne. Hey, Cheyenne.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Recovered from CBC?
I finally feel rested after CBC.
It took about a week to feel normal after CBC, I will say.
Honestly, it was today. I think I fully got my voice back. I think it was
like officially a week.
Officially a week. Yeah. Lack of sleep and all running around all the time. It definitely catches up to you, but it was fun.
It was a great time. If you haven't already, go back and check out our live from CBC episodes. Those were super fun to record. We always have a great time doing that. We get to stand on the trade show floor, hang out with all our friends and interview people. Those are always really fun.
Well, I know you actually get to talk face to face with people, which is not something we ever get to do. So they definitely are some of my favorite ones to do. And I just think all of them were just so great this year.
Yeah, we really we got a lot of really good guests. Heather, what was your favorite part of last week at CBC?
Of course, I have to say being on the floor and kind of seeing everybody and seeing all my customers and getting to meet people from, you know, all over, literally all over the world.
It's always so nice to put faces to names. That's my favorite part of it is you'll meet people and you'll have spoken to them so many times via phone and email. And then getting to put the face to the name is so exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome. We sponsored the National Black Brewers Association's Tap Takeover at Beer Zombies. And I think that was my favorite night.
That was so fun and so, so, so busy. They had so many attendees at that event.
It was packed in there, like every room and the patio completely packed.
Yes.
And they had the food trucks going and the beers were amazing. Yeah, it was. That was a
beers from all over, too. They had 20 plus beers from Black owned breweries all over the states. I had beers from Florida, all over the state. So that was super exciting.
Yeah, I finally got to try some beer from Crowns and Hops because they're down in California. We definitely don't get their beer up here. So that was really, really great. I, of course, had to have something from Weathered Souls because Marcus was there. And then I got to try the second rendition of the Black is Beautiful beer. Did you get to sample that one at all?
I don't think I got to try that one, unfortunately. The line was very deep at the bar, so. I
definitely got deep near the end there. So I think that was my favorite. What about you?
I mean, obviously getting to see everyone is always super fun. All the events are awesome. There's always so many things to do when you're there for the week at CBC. Heather, you were busy doing something else, but I went to, we had a Pink Boots member meet up at Las Vegas Brewing Company. And that was really awesome because, you know, you get so used to your own chapters for the Pink Boots Society and all the people that you know. And so it's always so fun to meet all the folks from other chapters. So the Las Vegas chapter hosted, obviously. And so that was super great to get to meet folks.
That's awesome. Was there like a lot of buzz about the Pink Boots Malt? Because we had a lot of people at the booth coming to ask about it.
Yes. A lot of buzz. People are so stoked. People are so excited about it. We did a giveaway because the Bountiful Bag made a tote bag, which I'm so jealous. I want one so badly.
We weren't allowed to enter. Wanted to enter so badly.
Yeah, me too. And it's so cool because the bag is just gorgeous and it has all these bright colors and the boot on it. And one of my customers won. Haley emailed me this week. One of my customers won. So I'm very excited about that.
Yay. Oh, that's so exciting. And I'm so jealous.
I know, me too. Hopefully we can convince Bountiful Bag to just make a run of them so we can all get some.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I guess we should amply jump into today's episode.
Yes, it's an important one.
It's a very important episode today. And it's kind of the first time we're touching on this. This kind of got brought up a little bit when we were doing our episode on safety last year. And one of the brewers that we were speaking to really brought up, you know, mental health and your psychological safety on top of your physical safety. And, you know, we kind of decided then and there that we really wanted to ensure that we did an episode this year focusing on psychological safety and mental health awareness for Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so this is a perfect timing. I also think it's really important on the heels of CBC when everyone is all together and drinking and doing all of those things. It's important to talk about mental health and burnout and all of that stuff in the craft beverage industry for sure.
Yeah, that's like burnout is such a big factor on your mental health and something that really hits people hard in the craft beverage industry. Also, of course, alcohol consumption, the neglect of your physical health and staffing shortages, which I, you know, talk to all my brewers all the time. And it's definitely something we're feeling out there all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So today we are talking with Katie Mugley, the Executive Director of Infinite Ingredient. Can you tell us a little bit about Infinite Ingredient, Cheyenne?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to get to chat with Katie. Infinite Ingredient is working to create a healthier, more sustainable future in which individuals who work in the craft beverage industry can be supported fully and wholly as human beings. They're providing the opportunity for individuals to flourish and for the community to thrive. They're a nonprofit and their mission is to actively support the mental and physical well-being of individuals working in the craft beverage industry. They focus on outreach, education, and access to resources.
Oh, that's amazing. Let's jump in. We are now joined by our guest, Katie Mugley, founder and executive director of Infinite Ingredient. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you all today.
We're so excited to hear everything about Infinite Ingredient. Before we dive into that, can you tell us, well, as you put it, your origin story in the craft brewing industry?
Yes, absolutely. So I kind of came to craft beer by way of service industry. So all throughout college, graduate school, I served and bartended. And when I moved down to the Twin Cities, had worked at several, you know, kind of bars and restaurants around town and was part of the service industry here as craft beer was like really starting to come up and really starting to, you know, there were all of a sudden there were like craft breweries opening. You know, it seemed like every month there was a new one that was coming on deck. And so just really fell in love with it and fell in love with like these amazing, you know, like my whole world kind of blew up and I was tasting all these new flavors and really just fell in love with the incredible things that were being created here in the Twin Cities. And really wanted to get, you know, I was like, I want to get into like the industry, right? Like I was part of this subset of it, but wanted to be further involved in like beer itself. And in 2016, was hired on by a local brewery as a part-time taproom staff. And that very quickly, just like in the craziest way, kind of led to doing sales. They asked, you know, who on the team, you know, what bars and restaurants that you wanted to see the beer at as we like started distributing. And I, you know, listed off a handful of bars and restaurants and I was like, talk to so-and-so here, talk to so-and-so here. And then they came back and
like, you're hired. Like
the what? Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they're like, you're hired. Yeah, she's done. She's got the job. Go sell.
Yeah, they were like, so 7 of our 10 first accounts were at your recommendation. Do you want to just like go out and do this? Like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's a thing. Like, I can do that. And so it just like very naturally like progressed from there where it was like all of a sudden I was, you know, doing sales and, you know, helped build the self-distribution program, helped to do, you know, like all of these different things. And it all kind of was born out of this, you know, experience that I had working in different bars and restaurants. So it was really cool how, you know, I didn't come to sales by way of being a salesperson. I came to it by way of like, I love, like I got to marry these two things that I loved so much together.
That's amazing. Mine kind of started the same way too. Like it all, I feel like it always just, you know, starts back in that service, in those service industry days. And they plant those like really good connections for you moving forward.
Exactly. And just like getting to meet like the amount of people that you meet and then like get to run into. And like, it's just, it was such a great thing. Like, you know, when I first started doing sales and, you know, getting to run around town, it was like, I had this like added bonus of getting to see and work with all these people that I had worked with at all these different places previously. And so it was just like the best of all of the worlds, where, you know, it's like, oh my God, I get to see so-and-so because they're over here now. And, you know, like there's a good amount of shuffle across like different places and then like new places opening and stuff like that. So it was kind of great because I got to keep like this really amazing group of people that I had met throughout the years together in this way of, you know, like just getting to go out on my like beer tour every week of like, hey, you doing okay? You need another half barrel? What's up? Like, and it was just, it was such an incredible like way to come into that.
That's awesome. So how did this roll in? I guess number one, so what is Infinite Ingredient? And then how did you come about starting this initiative, as I'll call it?
So Infinite Ingredient is a 501c3 nonprofit that I founded in spring of 2021, whose mission is to actively support the mental and physical well-being of individuals working in the craft beverage industry through outreach, education, and access to resources. So at that time, we were about a year into the COVID shutdown era. It was March of 2021 that I actually was leaving the craft brewing industry. I needed a break. I had been, you know, in my role for 5 years at that point, on premise. I was the on premise manager at the time. And, you know, essentially I had to, I think it was March 17th of 2020, had to zero out the forecast that I had built from those 7 accounts, right? And it was just, it was such a time. And so I was hired on by a marketing firm and just wanted to take a break from the industry to like, just kind of reset. And like, I think there were a lot of people like throughout the shutdown era and COVID who were doing like the like, holy hell, like what just happened? And like, kind of like, you know, like the slow blink of like, what am I doing here? And about 6 weeks later is when Brianne Allen, also known as Rap Magnet on Instagram, had posed that question of, you know, what sexist comments have you experienced or what sexist statements have you experienced? And with that barrage, I was gone for like 6 whole weeks and I'm reading all of these horrific things. And a lot of them were eerily similar, if not like the essentially reading my same story over and over again as well. And I was just like, there has got to be some way to be able to get resources into people's hands, because having left the industry, I was like, I know it's not benefits rich, right? Like, I know that we're not all like rolling and, you know, we're not Scrooge McDucking in a bunch of cash. We're not, you know, like rolling in like, you know, hella benefits from our employers. And I'm like, there's gotta be a way that we can get resources into people's hands, because I know I'm not the only one feeling this way. And I know that those accounts that were being shared of some of these like really horrific, you know, kind of underbellies of the industry, those were just, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, how can there be so much? And my reaction to that was like, y'all, like, this is like not even the tip.
You haven't been paying attention.
Yeah. And just like, this isn't even all of them. Like, there are people who, you know, it's like, well, you know, maybe never speak of what happened to them. And it's just there. I knew that I couldn't be the only person that was going through and feeling just that, like, level of like just like hurt and frustration and anger and fear and like all of these different things. And when you don't have somewhere to like turn or be able to talk to, you know, like resources that you can turn to, it was like this light bulb moment for me where I was like, there has to be a way that we can get resources into people's hands, and there has to be a way we can do it where it's not coming from you know, within, you know, trying to individually sell to every single brewery owner, like, hey, you should have these services available. Like, how do we create something that's independent? That's kind of like, you know, a way that we can prop up and support one another and support the industry that's independent of the houses that we, you know, work in and are in the day to day. So that, that way it's not, you know, oftentimes with resources that are available through work, if you leave that job, that's not available anymore. And that's its own separate, like, daunting task of trying to, like, you know, find something new, or maybe, you know, like your therapist isn't covered by your new insurance or something like that. And so just like trying to take into account, like, how can we remove as many barriers as possible to access to tangible resources for people, and just begin conversations in the industry about, you know, these really just, I mean, these are like the tackling of mental health, of well-being, of, you know, surviving toxic work environments, of self-care, of doing all of these things. These are such difficult topics. And it just kind of like really felt like a moment to say, you know what, like, we need resources, and we also need to start talking about this stuff. This inflection point needs to be utilized as an opportunity to move forward and do better instead of just watching it pass by.
I'm so glad to hear that you had that exact same thought, because I think a lot of, especially women in the industry, but people in general in the industry had that exact same thought at that exact same time, a year into shutdowns and watching everything that happened with Rat Magnet. I know that I had that exact same reaction of something needs to be done. Someone needs to do something. So, I mean, obviously you took it and ran with it, and you did do something, which is amazing. Can you give us a breakdown of some of the resources that Infinite Ingredient shares?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, so we're in the midst of our launch campaign. So our eventual goal is to be able to provide access to an employee assistance program, which is essentially like just a really robust well of resources that exists for employees to be able to utilize and use. And so we don't have that available yet because we have not been fully funded. But what we do have is really exciting. We launched our first actual like tangible resource this past January. And we partnered with the amazing folks at the Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation. And we were able to work with them. They were generous enough to donate access to their workplace well-being portal, which is really cool. So Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation is really like kind of at the forefront of substance use disorder research, and, you know, really kind of looking into like not only, you know, serving folks with treatment, but also researching and understanding like kind of how that works. And so a huge, you know, thing for us in the industry is we're surrounded by alcohol. And one of the questions that we want to answer is, you know, how do we demonstrate and, you know, live healthy relationships with alcohol when alcohol is our job? And so we partnered with them, and the Wellbeing Portal is really this incredible and robust tool that anyone working for a craft brewery in the United States that makes less than 6 million barrels a year, that's the Brewers Association definition, has access to this. So they can sign up. Not only those individuals working for those craft breweries, but also their family members. So this goes that one step beyond. It's not just that like roughly 150,000 people working at craft breweries. This is also their family members, right? Because like, we're not all these like insular beings that like only go to work and only come home, right? We all have our, you know, like very vibrant fabrics of lives that exist outside of work. And so this resource covers not only those individuals, but families as well. So with that, people can sign up. So we have at infiniteingredient.org/wellbeingportal. They can sign up. The access for it is 100% free. And it is just this really incredible and really robust tool. So people can explore help for themselves if they're feeling like their relationship with alcohol might not necessarily be in the best place, or also a loved one, because that's something really difficult to watch others go through as well. So you can learn about substance use disorder. They have assessments that are all based on the amazing research that they do to determine if someone is at risk, whether for yourself or someone else. And then you can receive personalized recommendations and connect to resources and services from Hazel and Betty Ford and elsewhere. I think it's really important to point out, you know, that this isn't just like a pipeline for them. This isn't like, oh, cool, just like, you know, get everyone, you know, recommendations for here. They're really dedicated to supporting holistically. And if there are resources that they have that they can share with folks, that makes sense. That's great. But they are not afraid to point people outside of their organization to be able to access the things that they need as well. So our hope is that this is going to empower individual employees, families, and just like the industry as a whole to really just kind of like utilize and use these amazing things. And like I said, the Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation was generous enough to donate this launch year. So this is normally something that, you know, we'll have to fundraise for in the future. But this is really, you know, they really believe in the mission of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to bring to the industry. And, you know, kind of make sure that folks know that, you know, it's not this heavy handed, like, boo hiss, alcohol is bad. It's certainly not. It's just that, you know, it's something that requires a decent amount of responsibility. And especially when it's in your day to day, you know, as your job requires, that requires a different, you know, just kind of different set of diligence and an attention to be paid. So we're really excited to be able to offer that though. So it's infiniteingredient.org/wellbeingportal is our live resource that we have right now.
That is such an amazing resource. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the other resources you're looking to have in the future?
Yeah. And so, so our hope is, like I said, eventually once we have, the funding available is to be able to provide access to that employee assistance program. So we have a provider, they're a third party that we are working with that once we have the funding, we'll be able to, provide, access to 24/7, 365 master's level counselors via telephone. It'll also include up to 5 counseling sessions with a master's level counselor. And that's something that, you know, depending on where you're based, you know, can be either in person, virtual, or telephone. And that's kind of, you know, like up to person's preference. But this provider has the capability of serving folks in all of those capacities across the country. And the really exciting thing to me, because I'm like always just constantly getting ahead of myself, is that eventually, someday we hope to be able to provide international support in that way as well. But the amazing thing about those sessions is that it's not just oftentimes EAPs, you know, it's like, hey, you get 5 sessions per year. And as someone who sees a therapist regularly, 5 sessions per year is like awesome and helpful. But sometimes, you know, it's the issues that we're trying to tackle aren't singular. And oftentimes the roots of some of them bleed into some of these other areas in our lives that we're trying to address as well. So there isn't an annual limit on the number of issues that's addressed, which really opens up some really incredible access and availability for being able to continue to utilize those counseling sessions. There's also work-life resources that will be available, including information and assistance with adoption, elder and adult care, parenting, child care, and disability support. And then there's really amazing and really robust legal and financial resources, including divorce and custody, budgeting. I'm like, sign me up for that one. Estate planning and wills, major life event planning, things like that. And then medical advocacy as well. You know, speaking of mental health care and all of those things, you know, some that's something that's really touch and go with its coverage. And just in general, like health insurance is just like such a tangled hot mess of a web to be caught in. So their medical advocacy resources are really robust as well to help folks be able to navigate in that. And then also coaching resources. So work-life balance, goal setting, being able to improve relationships. It's just this really incredible and really robust suite of resources that goes kind of beyond just, hey, I want to sit down and talk to a licensed counselor and like hash some things out, to like this really all-encompassing, being able to make sure that you're financially well, and that you are, able to set goals in your career and things like that. So it's really, I can't wait for the day that we can start rolling out Access, because I think it's going to be a really beautiful thing when we're able to allow folks access to it. And that phone number doesn't change if they move to a different brewery. And that phone number doesn't change if they, if I'm in Minnesota. I was just visiting my best friend growing up out in Annapolis for her 40th birthday. And, if I were to move out there and be in that area, my access wouldn't change. And so being able to provide something that is super dependable for folks, I think is going to be a really incredible thing. So I'm hoping that day is soon. but, we've got some fundraising to do before we get to there.
I think I've never really utilized the reaction symbol like on the Zoom workplace here. I think I've thrown up about four or five hearts and thumbs up. Man, this is like, this is awesome. Okay. This is like really, really great. And so happy that you're doing it. And I think going back to what you said, I think the most important part, and it starts here, is just communication, just talking about it. Right. There's just part of it is the industry's great. We've all been there. And I think sometimes mental health, you don't even know that something's wrong, right? You just feel like something's off, something's missing. And I've been there myself. So what, as far as, mentioned some of them, and I could probably name off what they are, is what do you think are the main issues affecting people's mental health in this craft beer industry or beverage industry?
I think one of the biggest issues that we face is that challenge to have those conversations, first and foremost, right? Like, because you can't solve a problem that you're not willing to admit is there. And so being able to, have these conversations, and that's not an easy thing to do, because like the industry is, it's so great. And there are so many opportunities, and it really is, it's something that has brought so much into my life, but it also kind of runs the danger. Often I think of, everything is always great. Everything is always awesome. Everything is always fun. It's always the best party that anyone's ever been to every day of every year of all of the time. And so I think, getting through the COVID era, getting through the shutdowns, that's kind of starting to crack open just in this general way, a little bit more, opportunity to talk about mental health. But I think, one of the biggest challenges is you don't want to be the person who is like the downer at the party that everyone else is having fun at, right? Like, and that I think is really, at least for me, that was such a huge part of it, where it was like, it felt like I was doing something wrong. And it felt like I was in like kind of this insular bubble of like, like, am I like messing this up somehow? Or am I doing it wrong by not having as much fun as everyone else? So I think if we can, really start to have those conversations. And then burnout is another one where it's like, it's a really fine line between being passionate about your job and being excited about what you're doing, and also allowing yourself to exist as a person. Because, like the way I always describe it for where I was, when I left the industry, was I allowed that Venn diagram of work and Katie to become a circle. Mm-hmm. And that's a really scary spot to be in, because you don't know where you start and where work starts and where you end and where work ends.
I feel like COVID was such a big part of that too. I know for me, we were lucky enough to have our jobs through COVID. I was lucky enough to continue working and doing what I'm doing through COVID, but it just became the only thing that I could do. So it became such a huge part of my identity because it was the only thing I was doing. It's the only time I talked to people. And
yeah.
I feel like that was definitely a thing.
I think it's absolutely especially the case for people in the brewing industry. Like you were saying, Katie, you know, like there's so much passion that people have for their jobs in the brewing industry. We do it because we love it. And it's very hard to kind of see that line, and you don't want to blur those lines. And, you know, the Venn diagram becomes a circle, like you said. I think that it's interesting, going back to what you were saying before, that, you know, it's such a fun industry to be in, and you kind of don't want to be the person who maybe raises their hand and says, oh yeah, but actually we need to talk about some things. You don't want to be the downer at the party. I've definitely felt that many, many times. And so it's a great place to start the conversation and know that it's okay to have those conversations.
And that's the biggest thing, right? It's like, how do we have these conversations, and how do we, you know, my biggest thing is trying to make sure that I just don't ever want anyone to get to the point that I was at, you know, I want to make sure that I, you know, part of it is like just the constant retraining of myself. Like, it's so funny, at CBC, I worked with Holly from the Brewers Association, and we presented this year about having tough conversations around burnout, right? Like, how do you have productive conversations about it, instead of, like, for me, I was very much like at this, like, oh my God, I just like wanted to like scream and cry and be like, I'm burned out. It's like, okay, well, like, what is anyone going to do with that? Right. Like, how can we, that's not really like encouraging anyone to be able to help. And so, so being able to like have those conversations and being able to, you know, just like, how do we call attention to it in ways that are, you know, helpful and meaningful, and being able to just, you know, like kind of raise our hand and go, hey, you know what, like, I'm not okay. And creating those environments, because that takes every single one of us who's involved in the industry to be able to, you know, create that environment where it's okay to say that, where you're not going to, you know, be looked at like, oh, well, you know, like, I guess we'll just replace you because you're not having fun anymore. And instead we can go, oh my God, I really want to make sure that you can continue doing this thing that you love, right? And that you can continue growing with this organization and be able to still be a whole human being. Because if you're not able to be a whole human being, you're not going to be putting out your best work anyways.
Definitely. And so while we're on the topic of burnout, can you tell us about the burnout survey?
Yeah, I would love to. So in 2022, we did our first ever craft beer burnout survey, and we are hoping to do like year over year data. So in 2022, we did the first one. In 2023, we did it as well. We generally try and do early year. This year, talk about burnout, just has been like a little bit of a ruckus.
How is it May already?
Well, that in and of itself, I just fundamentally don't understand what time is anymore, apparently. So there's also that, because I'm just like, oh, okay, cool, we're here. Like, I was laughing earlier this week that my calendar, like, I know noticed in November, I like looked over at my calendar and it was still set to July. So like, I'm generally running like a couple months behind, just like on like a general front. But the burnout survey, so I'm hoping that we'll be able to do our 2024 one as well. Probably I would say late Q3, if not early Q4, we might switch up the timing on it. Regardless, so keep an eye out for that, and I'll be happy to share that with you all as well. But we're hoping to collect that data, right? There's not a ton, and by a ton, I mean even any real data out there about burnout in the industry. And so what we were looking to do is, you know, especially that first one, was say, okay, the industry, you know, my experience with it, the people that I know and love in the industry have very similar experiences. Is it just a Minnesota thing? Is it, you know, like, is it like this weird, like, we're stuck in an Arctic tundra for half the year and we're like, we just all need more sunshine or something? Like, what is it? What's the root of this? And so we really wanted to like be able to dig into and open up, like, is this is this something that is industry wide? And our first, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I may be off by a couple, but I think the first year we had 388 respondents from across the US. And the data was just staggering. It was like, when it first came back, I was like, this can't be real. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm like, it is. For that subset of folks, it was across the three categories as defined by the tool that we utilized to measure was 100% of folks on average were burned out across these three categories.
Wow.
And it was really like, it was one of those things where I was like, there's no way in hell this is real. But at the same time, it was just like, thank God that like, this isn't just me.
It's validating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, in 2023, the preliminary data showed that there was a slight improvement in all of the categories. And actually one of the categories, because there's kind of a range. So there's, not exhibiting burnout at all. There's moderate and then there's severe. And there's actually one of the three sections that actually graduated from severe into the more moderate. So all of the numbers are starting to improve, which is really wonderful to see. So I'm really excited to, begin to collect continually to see, kind of how we're doing. And part of it too, to keep in mind is, measuring in 2022, that survey went out and it was measured during like, I think it was February and March of 2022, that very first one. And so we can't, since we don't have data from before the pandemic, we can't reasonably parse apart what was, burnout and fatigue from COVID or mm-hmm. burnout and fatigue in the industry. So I do want to just make sure that, kind of call that into the forefront of, making sure that in looking at that, that we look at it with the full lens of what was happening at that time. But I really do hope that, kind of the more that we have these conversations, the more that we can normalize, not just in our daily lives, but also within the industry, especially having these conversations where we can really, get to the point where, I would love to, see this amazing progression in these numbers that really shows some marked improvement of, hey, we're doing better and, we're all healthier and we're all, building more sustainable, businesses and relationships and just a more sustainable industry at large because we're paying attention to these things and because we're being cognizant of it. Because I think a lot of, and I was part of, kind of towing the like, we need to like better, faster, stronger, always building. And, like really just that glorification of like, we got to do everything at the cost of myself, and everyone around us and on our team. And instead being able to get to a point where we can go, hey, you know what, the way that we're going to be able to build stronger and better than ever is if we're supporting ourselves, taking care of ourselves and supporting and taking care of one another.
Very well said. How can people in the brewing industry or breweries themselves get involved and help out in Infinite Ingredient?
Yeah. Thank you so much for asking that. First and foremost, sharing our message, what we're doing, what we're up to, what our mission is. I think creating conversations among yourself, your team, but taking time for self-reflection and really taking a look at like where are you at? How are you doing? And being able to take that and then figure out, what to do with that. Hey, do I need to bolster these things? Or do I need to maybe ask for some help? One of the things that I mentioned earlier was the employee assistance program that we're fundraising for. Being able to, if you have a brewery that does any philanthropic giving or fundraising and things like that. We always are so, so grateful to be able to be benefactors from those sorts of events or brew days. Or beer sales, things like that. I know that there's just so many places that are doing really amazing work for their communities. So being able to be considered, we are 501c3, like I mentioned earlier. So those donations are tax deductible. And, hopefully being able to really bolster that financial end of things will just allow us to continue, hopefully subsequent years, being able to fund the workplace well-being portal and being able to add on additional tangible resources for folks as well. So we're available on the social medias. I like run all of that stuff and I'm not the most adept at it. Just a full stop. Canva is a really amazing tool. But being able to follow us on there as well is really helpful. So follow us, share what we're up to, share what we're doing, and donating are really, really the biggest things. And like I said, just taking really good care of yourself and taking really good care of the people around you is going to go so, so far, because everyone really needs just so much. I just think so much extra. It's been such a, like, life is just life and a lot, I think, for a lot of people right now. And so being able to do that is really, really helpful as well.
I absolutely agree. Life is lifing a lot.
It is lifing a lot.
It's lifing a lot.
One thing I will say, Katie, I'm on your website and I'm looking at all the resources and you mentioned all of these, but I think that's something that is so great that you're doing. I think for many people, we think that well-being is kind of the bare minimum of, taking care of our mental health, taking care of our physical health. There kind of is a baseline that we think of, and your goals for your resources go so far above that, which I think is amazing. And not a lot of people think that they can reach that far ahead. So, the coaching resources, the goal setting, that's a sign that you're thriving. And I think that that's amazing that that's something that you have on the agenda to help take care of people. Cause we don't, always think about those things when it comes to well-being and mental health.
Absolutely. I mean, it's always a moving target, right? Like there's never, well-being and mental health every day looks different, right? Like, some of the most accomplished days are, some of the hardest ones where it's like, oh my God, I took a shower. Like, holy damn. Like I nailed it today, It's really like, it's all about perspective and it's all about, accounting for that. Right. Because, everyone's hardest day is going to look different. Everyone's greatest day is going to look different. And those are they're just, you never know which one it's going to be. Sometimes it feels like. And so, that really holistic, removing barriers, but also making sure that there is that kind of like full spectrum, right? Like, it's not just like, oh, cool. Well, got through this, one event, or something happening. And then all of a sudden, like everything is just great and dandy. It's constantly in flux. So the more that we can support every little bit of where a person might be at, the more holistic that kind of like catch-all is, where it's like if you fall that short distance from maybe not being in a good place, whether like you're there or having like the most amazing and incredible month ever, there's going to be something there for you and there's going to be something there to support you, because that and that's kind of, calls back to the name of the organization in general. The pursuit of wellness is infinite. It changes every day. What your needs are change every day. And so being able to, kind of highlight that, understand that, and really give ourselves grace to be able to find whatever that is on any given day is a really important thing.
Well, I have to say, Katie, thank you so much for all that you are doing. This is a lot of work to undertake, and it's just so, so important in this industry. So thank you very much.
thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to share what it is we're up to and for the support. So I really appreciate it. And the more we can have these conversations, the better off we're all going to be.
Agreed. Thank you so much to Katie for joining us today and sharing with us all about the resources that Infinite Ingredient has to offer. We wanted to share some additional resources with you today. Should you be in a crisis, the crisis text line is there for any crisis, and that can be anything. If you're painful, emotional time, or anytime you just feel like you need support, a live trained crisis counselor will be there where they receive the text and respond, all from secured online platforms. So text HOME to 741-741 from anywhere in the United States.
Additionally, if you or someone you know is in crisis, they can call or text 988 or chat via 988lifeline.org. The Lifeline provides 24/7 free and confidential support for people in distress, prevention, and crisis resources for you or your loved ones, and best practices for professionals in the United States and Canada. So very important resources. Make sure you save those for you or anyone that you might know who needs them. Switching gears, we wanted to say a huge congrats to all of the World Beer Cup winners this year. It Yay. Was a very long list. Super exciting to get to go through that and see all of our favorite breweries in there. So very exciting. We wanted to remind you about our Filson Vest Gold Medal Program, which awards a custom vest to each gold medal winner for beers using at least 50% Great Western Malting or Canada Malting Co. as their base malt. You can go ahead and reach out to your sales rep if you have any more questions.
And finally, don't forget to subscribe to the Brew Deck podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we will catch you next time.